Blog Talk Radio.
Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Welcome to Don't Give Up Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans. It is a pleasure to be with you another week, another weekend, and to walk together as we face the many mighty challenges that life is always presenting to us, whether it's in our personal lives, our family lives, or even what's going on in the nation, in the world. There's definitely enough out there, but if you concentrate on it, if you set your eyes and your focus on it, it makes you want to give up. Makes you want to throw in the towel. But thankfully, we have tonight's guest who can talk to us about the fact that in the face of tragedy, you can still learn how to love hard and allow that love to overcome any of the sorrow, the anger, the bitterness that you may naturally want to embrace. But if you embrace love, the love of God, he can take you personally to somewhere where you can be healthy and whole in a greater way. So I'm not going to delay it all. I just want to turn the mic right over and say welcome, Joyce Ruiz, Joyce J, to the show. Welcome. Glad to have you.
Hello, Jackie. Thank you so much for having me.
No, it's a privilege, and it's actually, you know, God's timing on this. And I know you have been doing a lot of prayer in regards to the show. You're not someone who has a little bit of time to spare. You're a songwriter, an author, a mother of twins, as if that's not enough. And so there's a lot that you have on your plate. So I appreciate you taking the time to be with us, and I think that it's specifically going to be beneficial considering all that's going on in our world right now with the loss of life and the type of brutality that seems to be happening all around us nationally and internationally as well. So let's start a bit with you and your upbringing. I know that you come out of a household of faith, and talk to us a little bit about that and what was your life like growing up as a child.
First, I want to say thank you so much once again for having me on the show, and I want to give all praises to God above for allowing us to see this day and just for all his grace and mercy. We can do nothing without him, and I am so, so in debt to him forever. Thank you, Father. As far as my upbringing, yes. Growing up, there was eight of us as far as siblings go, but there was also our parents. And our parents were very involved in the church. My father was a minister, and he pastored two churches. And my mother sang in the church. So we came up in the church, and I'm so glad that we had the spiritual upbringing that we had. I remember oftentimes when my mom used to say to us as children that one day she would always say, read your word and also go to church. And she was really big on that. And she would also tell us that one day you're going to have to call on someone, and I may not be there, your dad may be there, and the only person you will have to call on is the Lord. And I was like, oh. At that time, as a child, you're just kind of listening. You're not really, you're listening, you're kind of paying attention, but you're really not, and you're just kind of like it's going in one ear and out the other, so to say. But in all due respect, you were because you know that your parents know best.
You actually didn't have a love relationship, so to speak, with the Lord at that time. You were, you know, part of the household and had an understanding, but it really wasn't a very personal identity that you had with the Lord until much later on, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But I do know that you had a real joyous, bright spot in your life that many of us don't get to appreciate or get to have at all, and that is the fact that you met someone wonderful and you fell in love, and I want you to share with us how you met and how you knew that it was the real thing, how you knew that this was the love that you wanted to spend the rest of your life with.
Thank you for asking that question. I mean, just the thought of that question makes me smile, brings a smile to my face. I met my husband, Ronnie, through a mutual friend, I guess. We were actually invited to a gathering, a little house party, so to say, and he just happened to be there, and we kind of met briefly, but I met him once again by giving a friend a ride. I was just actually doing a favor. Friend asked me to do something for them, and I said, okay, you know, I'm not busy, so let's go. And so in the midst of it all, he winded up being at this person's house, which was a mutual friend of ours. And I was like, okay, I'm seeing this person again. So basically he kind of asked me for my number and just kind of went from there. We just started talking and talking and talking. And I kind of knew it was love at that time because I could see that he was real serious and he was very, very much wanting to get to know me better. And I started wanting to get to know him better. And I was very pleased that, you know, he took the time out to make time for me, because oftentimes you hear about how couples do not take time out for each other. They're just sort of like doing life or just kind of like in a relationship. But he actually took the time out. He listened and that sort of thing like that. And I really felt that God led him to me because I've been into a somewhat boyfriend-girlfriend kind of thing. But I guess I was more into that relationship than the male counterpart. And I had decided at that time that, you know, I just did not want to date. I just was not interested in anyone. I just wanted to do me and, you know, work, go to school and that sort of thing like that. Right about that time, I had told God, you know, I'm good with this, you know, and that sort of thing. But if you have someone for me, you know, you could bring them my way. And it seems like the minute that I just stopped thinking about being with anyone else, so happy that God brought us together.
I've heard so many say that it's the moment that they released, and we're going to come back to that thought. It's the moment that they released this thing that they felt was so important to them, and just said, you know, God, what you have, I'll accept. That the person just came and walked in, you know, through the door. And so yeah. I love hearing the happiness in your voice as you describe this. And you guys went on to build a life together, have a family. You got married, have a family. If I looked at your family, you know, what would I see that looked like love all over you guys?
I feel what you would see is happiness that we had, the joy that we had for one another, the time that we put into each other's life, whatever it is that they wanted to do, whether it was a hobby. You know, it's like my husband, he loved golf. That was one of his favorite pastimes of things to do. So initially when he started telling me about golf like this, and he would take me to the course, I'm like, this takes all day, you know. But then I said to myself, you know what, this brings him happiness, this brings him joy, this brings him peace of mind, you know. I'm good with this, you know, because we're supposed to be in marriage. We're supposed to give more of ourselves to our mates. Too often people go into marriages, to relationships, thinking and looking things. What is it in this relationship that I can benefit from? What's in it for me? But what we should be saying is, what can I do to be a blessing to my husband, to my wife, or to my future? What is it that I can do to bless them? And oftentimes people miss that. So I want to encourage others to really think about that and try to give more of them to their other half, to their mate, versus the opposite way.
Absolutely, because love is a journey. It is a process. It's one that deepens both sides, especially when both are giving to that place and that journey. We're going to take a break and listen to this song called Journey to Love by Tay Clemens. And when we return, we're going to find out about the very tragic twist that happened in your story and find out how you have been able to turn that around through the power of God.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
And we're back with Joyce Rez as we are talking about loving hard and what that looks like, even in the face of tragedy, something that's not easy to do, but something that Joyce has experienced herself and knows full well. And that is, Joyce, you had this wonderful marriage and family a man that you fell in love with, but then there was a sudden tragic loss of his life. And so if you would share with us, you know, how did he lose his life? What was that day like for you? As you know, I don't know if you were there or if it's something that you received a phone call. If you could just break that down for us a bit.
Yeah, that was very, very heartbreaking for us, and it still is to this day. I actually had received a phone call in the middle of the night. Those are the worst sometimes. And got the news of my husband. And I just refused to believe it. I mean, that doubt, the shock just hit me like a ton of bricks. And when I heard it, I was like devastated, of course, and I still couldn't believe it as I hung up the phone. But when I got that news, Jackie, I couldn't believe it. I went outside. I left out of the house, went to my car. I didn't know what to say, didn't know what to think or believe. I was just devastated. I was in shock, and I just prayed to God, this can't be true. This isn't my husband. You know, I didn't want the twins to hear me. I cried out to God and just ask him what is going on, you know, just give me strength miles and miles away. I'm thinking they've made a mistake. It's not him. All these through my head emotions. And I had to sit him down and just kind of talk to them, you know, and wake them up. I woke them up and we had that talk, and it wasn't good. It was a horrible night. And from that point, from that day, it's never been the same. It'll never be the same. My life will never be the same because of the relationship we had.
Right, right. And I definitely will not, you know, this is very raw and tender and sensitive area. And in the world that we live in, there's so much happening that there are times that it seems like you're trying to heal and the Band-Aid just keeps getting ripped off. There's something that happens, that triggers, it helps you to remember all over again those emotions and the place where you were. And it's difficult enough when it's just you, but you have these, you know, beautiful children that love their father. How did you begin, just the beginnings of trying to cope with life without him being there?
Well, we're still coping. You know, when you're married and you have a great spouse. In my case, we had a great husband, a loving dad, of this great, in so many areas, a great provider. Just trying to provide has been very challenging for us, and it still is. I am fortunate that, you know, I have my family, and that's helped out, being supportive, and, you know, a few people from our church. And also, my husband had some really great friends that just have been so supportive to us. And people that I didn't even know, some of his friends I didn't even know until, you know, after his passing. But they took us in just like family because they love him so, so, so very much. And have told me that if there's anything we need, just to let them know. So it's really great that we have that support system. And the way that we've been coping, first and foremost, has been through prayer. Through the Lord, I've been delving more and more into the Word and just reaching out to Him and, you know, building more and more of a deep, intimate relationship with God.
Well, let's talk about that, because I know you said at the beginning of the show that, you know, you were raised with, but your mom gave you those wise words to say there's going to be a point in your life where there's no other name that you'll be able to call on. You know, you might try, but they might not be able to be there for you, or they may not be able to actually help you. And so here you are, those words are almost prophetic, and you know, they come to pass, so to say, and you are in this moment of trauma, in this moment. What did you say to yourself? What did you say to the Lord to begin your relationship with Him?
Well, first, I want to just say also, too, that as I was growing up, in all honesty, you know, my dad was a pastor, and my mom was in the church. All my family, we went to church, BTU, all these different services, but I really wasn't into, you know, church. I loved God, I knew that, but I didn't really read my Bible, you know. I didn't really do that for years. I didn't think I really did that until I became, you know, well into adulthood. And so I wish I would have read my Bible early on. I see some youth nowadays that are more on fire for God, and every time I see it, they're just, I'm just like complimenting them and just telling them. I'm sorry, but I'm just saying, you know, they're so, you know, I said, just keep that up, because God sees your heart, and it's so good to know Him, because the more and more you study His word and the more and more you spend time with Him, the better that you'll be. Not to say you won't have any issues or any problems or storms in life, because the word tells us that we will have tribulations, but God will be with us, and you'll know His voice more. You'll know how to listen for Him. And that's one thing that I've prayed for, is that I hear God's voice more, because it gets me through. His word has gotten me through so many different obstacles since, you know, we lost Ronnie. And I just don't know where I would be without His word, attending church, Bible study, and that sort of thing like that. So I would encourage everyone out there to pick up their Bible and just start reading. It doesn't matter where. And you're not going to understand a lot of the things in the Bible when you start, especially, you know, some of the King James Version is what I'm reading predominantly. But just pray on it, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you and give you better understanding. Just ask Him for it, and He will, because the Bible tells you when you seek wisdom, just ask Him, and He'll give it to us. In Proverbs, it tells us that.
Now, I know what you're saying to us is true, and thank you so much for your transparency as you're sharing with us here today. And I often share on this show Romans 10, 9, and 10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved, and that's where this relationship begins. That's where it starts. My thing is that we live in a society where some of what you said, all true, it becomes cliche. You know, it's kind of like when people get up and say, God is good, and everyone knows to say all the time, you know, cliche mode. And so I want to drill it down and make it as personal and real for the listener out there who's going through themselves, and they've heard this, but they don't know it to be true for themselves yet. What did you do to draw closer to the place where you started to actually receive and feel the peace that passes understanding, the peace that allowed you to cope and to get through from day to day? And I know we're going to talk about your book, Love Hard, and some real specific details through that, but I wanted to get through this piece of it first.
Well, what I did, Jackie, is talking to, you know, trying to share, you know, my story too as well, with a few people that has really helped. But the word of God, when I read it, I said, Lord, you know, you say this in the Bible and you say that. And certain things I will call on Him about and pray on about. And if I could just share this one quick story on transportation, how God just opened up some doors there for us. It was just phenomenal. I started praying because I felt that we would need more transportation to do certain things and to get about and to, you know, just try to take care of ourselves and fend for our livelihood and that sort of thing. So I started praying to God, and I said, Lord, you know, you said in the scripture that you'll supply all our needs through His glory, Christ Jesus. So please, God, you know, we're in need of another vehicle, and we know we can't really afford that much. And I was like, I don't know how this is going to happen. And I told the children, I said, we need to pray about this. We don't know how it's going to happen. But lo and behold, one day I got a phone call. And I had mentioned it to a mechanic, a local mechanic in the area. And I got a phone call, and the guy told me, said, you still looking for a car? And I said, yes, I am. He said, well, I have something. I said, who you do? I said, well, I hope I can afford it. And he told me, he said, why don't you just come on by and take a look at it? And I said, wow, okay. So he said, and bring your children with you. I want y'all to take a look at it. We got there. We've got in the car. He says, take the keys, look at the car, drive it around, let us know if you like it. We came back after driving the car for a bit. We said, we love the car. I said, now how much do you want for it? He said, you really love the car? And I said, yes. And I said, it's a beautiful car, but I just want to make sure we can afford it. And he put the keys on the counter, and he said, it's yours. And he put the title in my hand. And we looked at each other, and we was like, oh, my gosh. It was like a few months ago before that. People question if God is real. But I had heard somebody at our church say that they needed a car. And I heard them say a few weeks later in their testimony that somebody at church told them that God said that they wanted them to have their car because they had been blessed with a brand new car, and God told them to give that their old car to them. And I looked and I go, wow, could this be? I've never heard of such. You know, I've heard the stories, but, you know, I'm like, is this really true? Is this really happening? And people wonder, because I know some people, because I had a small doubt in all honesty, like, is this really true? Or are they just saying this or what? But I'm here to tell you that it happens, and God has answered prayers, and we got the titles to the car, and we did not pay one penny. And that was all through God, through the Holy Spirit, and through prayer, because he knows our needs, and he is there to take care of us. In every step of this journey that we've had since losing my husband, there's been various different obstacles, different issues, and God has come through for us. So he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us, and I'm just a living witness just to say, you know, guys, if you're going through something right now, you could call on him for whatever it may be. I don't know if it may be for a car, if it may be for finances, a school scholarship, or whatever the case may be. Just call on him and show him that you are true to his word. He loves those who obey him. He rewards those who obey him and diligently seek him. So I just wanted to share that story.
Absolutely. You have to taste and see that the Lord is good for yourself. So until you make that commitment and pray and start your relationship with him, you're outside of being able to taste and see. You know, that platter is being put before you. And it's easy to have every doubt come in your mind and say, oh, that's not the case. But you have to start. You have to put your trust there. And he will not fail. You know, I know a verse that you love is Philippians 4:13, which says, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we have lots of commandments in the scriptures to be strong and courageous and not to fear and not to be discouraged, because God promises to be with us through the fire and the flood. A lot of the times we don't feel that we're worth it. We think that, you know, we're not good enough, we haven't met the mark, but thankfully his love is not based on us being worth it, that the Lord Jesus Christ was worth it. When we come back, we'll find out more about loving hard.
You thought I was to die for.
Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
And we're back, and we're in the midst of almost at the tail end of a very just transparent show as we share with you Joyce Ruth's story of loss of her beloved husband and how her family had to continue on in the face of that sudden tragedy. And so I know that you dislike words such as widow and single. And it's interesting, I wrote here called Don't Give Up and Win, a survival guide to renewed virginity. And that renewed has to do with the fact that you're in a situation again, whereas, you know, you didn't expect to be a widow or divorced or separated or all the myriad of things that can find yourself in a place where you're not in an intimate, physically intimate or relationally intimate place with someone. And so how do you now begin to find renewal from that space and that place? And I mention in the book how most community organizations and church organizations really like to lump us in categories and say, well, you know, if you're a widow or single, you can definitely still come to the singles ministry, you know, and we're thinking to ourselves, but we're not really that anymore, and we don't necessarily fit in that space anymore. And I know that's my issue with those words. What are your emotions and thoughts around the words when you hear widow or single and things like that?
When I hear those words like widow and another word, and it's something when I first started hearing these words, I didn't give these titles to myself. Other people gave these titles to me after the loss of my husband. And I think the first term I heard was I was filling out some paperwork, and someone just asked me a question, and they just determined from the information I'd given them that I was a widow, and I was just like, whoa, you know, and that sort of thing. And another time it was like they were telling me that I was not only a widow, but I was single. And then another title was not only that I'm widow and single, but now I'm widow, single, and a single mother. And I'm like, whoa, these are too many different titles that I do not even care for. I did not even care for, because they just did not say who I feel that I am as far as the life that I desire for myself. And it was very hard for me, and I still don't really go along with some of these terms, but like on the term widow itself, some people look at you differently. You know, they see you as maybe not as worthy of being around them. You know, it's strange. You know, there's been times where, you know, there's functions and different events, and you used to get invitations too, but now that your spouse is no longer here, it's like you don't get those invitations anymore. You know, it's like you're the odd person out.
I thought that was just for us divorced ladies. I didn't know that was happening to quote-unquote widowers, too.
Yes, it happened. And sometimes people do, they think that you must have did something wrong for this to happen to you. And maybe I need to stay my distance. You know, you must have did something wrong, like I'm living right. And some people think that you've done something wrong, and they feel that this will never happen to them. And they can never be in this situation or scenario. But it's unfortunate, and we know what life is about. And it can happen to anyone at any given time. So when, you know, I hear people say the word widow, I just try to take it in with a grain of salt and just use it as the definition that it is, widow or widower, because there are widowers out there, too, that are suffering, too, men that are suffering from the loss of their wives. So we want to make sure that we kind of, like, you know, include them. And I know that men are taught to be strong, but at the same time, they need to be shown love, too, as well. So in some circumstances, it's just that, you know, it hasn't sat well with me, the widow and the single thing, because I'm just like, you know, I love being married. I was blessed with a great marriage. God blessed me with that. And I'm very, very grateful for all the time that he gave us, but because I know that some people are still in search of, or, you know, some people may have just felt that it's too late and they'll never experience anything like that. And my heart and my prayers go out to anyone and everyone that's out there that's searching for love, for true love, and know that God can make it happen. Some people think that, well, God will never bring that person to you if you don't go out, if you don't do this, that, and the other. You know, a lot of people are putting up, you know, we have social media, and I see so many people that are, you know, showing this and showing that and saying this just to draw attention to themselves because they're seeking love. But if you really want true love, seek ye first the kingdom of God is what I would say. You know, that's what I would suggest to people. And I see so many different people. In all honesty, Jackie, before this everything happened with Ronnie, I did not know that there were so many single people out there that were seeking love. I just this is a whole different world for me. But now I'm seeing this, and I'm really in prayer because I feel that this is part of the ministry that God's given me and people to experience that type of joy, to experience that type of love, to experience those awesome date nights. And those sort of things, and just love on each other, and just know, too, that God brings people in our lives for a reason, and we should really, really take pride, and we should really show love and love hard to these people, because too often people are not showing love to others, and that's when we find ourselves getting into a lot of trouble.
Right.
Because this story tells us that we are to love one another.
In the midst of all of this, you started to be awakened at 3:30 in the morning, or, you know, some people call it night, some people call it morning, but 3:30 a.m., just to be clear. And describe for us, because we're getting into, you know, this motivations for your CD and your book now, Love Hard, what started happening consistently at that time at 3:30 in the morning every night?
It was really quite odd or quite strange when I was awaken at these times. The first time I just thought, you know, okay, God just woke me up just to kind of like for me to have like a little conversation with him because I was missing my husband so tremendously. And I was thinking about him being in heaven and if I could visit him. So the first point that he gave to me, he started giving me these points basically. And the first point he gave to me, these words were, if I could visit him in heaven with the things that we would do, you know, the joy we'd have with each other and, you know, spending time with our father, if I could just visit him in heaven. And the thing about it is that when I was awakened at these odd hours of the morning, these words were already on my tongue. They were already in my mind. They were already in my heart pretty much. And some just told me to get up and start writing them down. So that's what I did. I started writing them down, and I just thought it would be just that one poem. And once that one poem got, you know, was completed, you know, I just felt that was it. So I thought I would just write it and just share it with people. Maybe it may be a blessing to someone else out there that has lost a loved one and wants to see them or wants to spend time with them. But what happened was it kept happening. It kept happening day after day, night after night, just about for about a month. And for the most part, most of the words were already there. So I can't take full credit for writing this book. I have to give credit where credit's due, because I don't think too many people wake up with words flowing out of their mouths like this or their minds to where it's just there. And it's just like, You better type real fast or you better write real fast because it's just there. And then I would add little things to it just to kind of tweak it a little bit here and there in some areas and make it more personal. But God, I say we wrote this book together, Love Hard, because it's something that I feel he wanted me to share, us to share with people, others.
Our time is going so quickly. I want you to get into it a little bit and talk to us about the message of Love Hard that God gave you for this book. If you had to put it in, you know, one or two sentences, what is Love Hard about?
Love Hard is basically our message. Time is not always on our side, it's short. That we need to love each other to the fullest. God has told us he wants us to love one another. It's his commandment, and we are to be obedient to that commandment. So Love Hard is knowing how to love someone even though they may be difficult, even though they may have did you wrong, even though you may not see things the same way. Sometimes we have to agree to disagree and to move forward in relationships. So in Love Hard, we also talk about forgiveness. Too often, people want to, you know, say they forgive someone, but deep down inside, they do not forgive them. And the Word tells us that we are to be forgiving. So with Love Hard, you have to find ways to love someone regardless of the situation. And asking God and the Holy Spirit to soften your heart, to give wisdom so that you can love each other in that way that you've never imagined. Sometimes people just tend to forget that our life here on earth is short, and we need to be able to be there for one another, to be able to bless each other in love, full love, not just saying that you love, but love is an action where we need to show that love. And if you love God, you say you love God, then God's commandment is to love others. And that could be our family, that could be our spouses, that could be our neighbors. And we also are supposed to love our enemies. A lot of people don't see that, but that's what we're supposed to do. When people do us wrong, that's what we're supposed to love them. And I see too many times, Jackie, in relationships and in marriages where couples are abusive to each other, verbally, sometimes physically, it's unfortunate, but they're verbally abusive. They don't take out time for each other. They don't say kind words. They get into the marriage, and then they feel the work is done. I don't have to do anything else but maybe just go to work and just come home. Well, you still have to nurture that relationship. You still have to build it up. Otherwise, we can see ourselves or see couples to where, you know, they're divorcing, they're separating, you know, they're living in the same household, but they're not even, you know, really considered a couple anymore. They're just roommates, basically. It's unfortunate, but that's going on these days.
Yeah, the key is service, and it's easy to say when you're out of it, but like you said, so many singles are desiring partnership, and so one of the key things is to learn how to serve others even now, before you even get to that place of being joined with someone else. And if you're not serving and if you're not being fueled by God's love, you're going to burn out, as we can see that many marriages in our country, over, you know, 50%, slightly over 50%, are indeed burning out. And so as we desire this thing and we want to walk in having it, that we need this love. And I want to just clarify for a moment that when we talk about love, people just really get this loosey-goosey, wishy-washy thing, but love is all comprehensive, just like God is. And so I look at your title, Love Hard, in two ways, because love can be hard. It can be a difficult process to love someone where they are, for who they are. But that's what God does for us, right? That's what he does for us. And so how do you correctly love someone in the condition that they're in? And sometimes that does mean making hard choices. But in all that you're doing it for the purpose of gaining that person, increasing them, serving them well. And of course, we're talking about, you know, marriage and relationships here. And the bottom line is it's there for us. We just have to go get it. There's some work that needs to be put in. Any last words you want to share before we close out?
Well, actually, in Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, I won't read it all, but if the listeners can please go to this scripture verse. And it sort of defines, God has already defined love for us. He says love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor, it is not easily angered. I mean, just reading those three things, I mean, it goes on. But it gives, God has already given us the blueprint of what love is. And when you think about those words, you know, love is patient, things about being patient and kind. I mean, that should just bring joy to one's heart, just knowing that that kindness that's there. You know, you just think about just awesome, wonderful things, you know, a beautiful sunny day, you know, maybe a day at the beach, things that you really love. But these things, you know, can just bring so much joy to your heart. And I would suggest that people take time to just soak and meditate into Corinthians 13, 4 and 8, I think that's 1 Corinthians, and just get in tune with that and get more in tune with the spiritual being, the spiritual self. Get more in tune with God. Solutions are in the Word. And he is there for us when we call on him. All we have to do is call on him. I lost my husband, and it's been very hard on us in various different ways, my children, even his friends. And I thank God that they're still supporting us as, you know, in being encouraging family. And I'm so grateful for that. So I would also say get also with a good church there. Get with a good Bible reading church and just get in there and just start serving. You may not know where you're supposed to go, whether you want to be in a choir, whether you want to be on the, you know, usher or whatever the case may be, but just get in there and know that God has something for you. And also, when it comes to relationships, guys, be forgiving, whether it's a marriage, whether it's family, whether it's whatever, friends, a neighbor. Just be forgiving towards one another. Don't say you're going to forgive someone or you forgive someone and you still cannot find in your heart to show that person love. That's not true forgiveness. And the Bible tells us that we're supposed to give not just seven, but seven times 70. So we need to really think about that and be forgiving because God forgave us. God hears our prayers, but he also wants us to take action and to be obedient. And I've seen this in numerous occasions to where people expect God's blessings. However, they do not adhere to some of the things that he commands us to do. He wants us to go out and to be representatives for him, to be that light. He doesn't like strife. I'm really encouraging people to be forgiving. I'm really encouraging people also, couples, to go out there and make time for each other. Stop saying, you know, I don't have enough time to take you out on a date this week, or I don't have, because I'm working, or I don't have enough time to have dinner with you, or I don't have enough time to sit and pray together as a family. We need to make time for that. It's time right now. Time is past due, really. We see so many different things that are going on in this world. We see so many different shootings. We see so many different, there's violence that's plaguing our country, plaguing the world. And that's not of God. There's hate. hate crimes that are going on. And we have to learn that we cannot expect the world to become a better place if we don't get to know God better and start loving on each other better. How do we do this? We got to go back to the basics. We got to put God first in our country. We got to pray for our government. We have to ask that God be in the midst of the people that are running things so that why? So that our laws can be better, so that it doesn't leave a negative influence on anyone when we want to say the Pledge of Allegiance or a prayer at our school function. We have to get back to those things. And love heart is very important. And I just thank you, Jackie, for this time. And I just ask you guys, just, you know, prayer warriors out there, just continue to pray. Continue to pray for our country and continue to pray for our world. And I want all the people to know that God, he does answer prayers. He does answer prayers. And he's the reason why I've gotten this far. I've been talking to various different widows that God's acquainted me with after I've lost my husband and widowers. And we've been sharing stories. And our stories, a lot of times, are similar. And there are a lot of people out there hurting, whether they've lost a spouse, whether they've lost a family member. There are a lot of people out there that are hurting. So keep praying and keep loving hard, because we have to live today like it's our last day, because we never know. Because when it comes to my husband, I had just talked to him. I had just talked to him a few hours before. We were making plans to do certain things. I had just talked to him, and then I got that call, that very unfortunate call. And my husband is the reason. I want to say this, too. I just have to say it. He's a reason. He's a big reason why I can continue to move forward in the strength, because he lived a quality life. He lived life to the fullest. And he did not procrastinate on things, and he loved God. And he lived life to the fullest, and he always taught me to always enjoy yourself and have a good time. And between him and God, I look up and I talk to them daily, and I just say thank you. Thank you for the memories that you share. And I'm so grateful that we were blessed to know one another. And I'm praying for everyone out there to have a love relationship, a true love relationship that they desire. And God can make it happen. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing with us. To our guests, I want you to understand we're asking you to do this love thing, not for others. Do it for you so that you don't walk around with bitterness, so that you can see clearly and be able to make the right impact on your family and on those around you. Until next time, I want you to go ahead and be your very own best hero, because the greatest hero of all said that you were worth it when he gave his life for you on the cross.
What kind of love are you? forgive me for all